Sarah, and today we're doing the sermon a little bit differently. We're tag-teaming the preach, so hope that maybe keeps your excitement up or something like that. We thought we'd take the opportunity to also kind of introduce ourselves a bit. So we're new here. We arrived to Manurewa in February, and we moved into the hut with Mick and Ruby and some other great Lupton Roaders. And so we've been here for a few months and are really enjoying the place. So thanks, everybody, for your welcome. We're having a great time with you all. So I'm Elliot, and I'm from Auckland. I've been raised here since I was a little boy and grown up in various parts. So we lived in Epsom for my first 10 years when my dad was a teacher at Dilworth Boarding School. And then we moved over to the shore, and I went to Rangitoto College. Don't hold that against me. And went to Windsor Park Baptist Church for about 13 years. So that's where I was before I came here. Through Windsor, I came to know Jesus and started following him more and more, went to youth group, and then eventually became a youth leader. And for me, that was a real source of passion. You know, I got more and more excited about Jesus and about discipleship. So eventually followed that through and came to Carey Baptist College, which is where I'm still today. So I've been there for 4 years. I met Sarah there on my first day, so there's more perks to it than just studies. There's also brides, or just one. So that's been good. We work there. I'm wearing a shirt under this called Intermission, which is a job we kind of do part-time while still studying. So that's just a little bit about me. I'm going to let Sarah take over for a while.
So when you preach, you really look forward to people giving you feedback after the sermon. You really look forward to having maybe a chat after. And I was preaching it as a guest at one church, and this lady was coming really enthusiastically towards me. So I was bracing myself. I was like, yes, it's going to be a great convo. And she came up and she was like, I didn't hear a word you said, but I was trying to guess your accent the whole time. Are you from France? And I was like, oh, no. So I've learned to tell people where I'm from at the beginning so that nobody gets distracted. So to the person next to you, have a guess where my accent is from. So I have a weird accent. I'm from Zimbabwe, but Zimbabweans don't actually pick it, which is weird. I went back to Zimbabwe and they kept asking me where I was from. I came back to New Zealand and the immigration officer was like, where are you from? So I'm like, I guess Zimbabwe, New Zealand, one of those two. We immigrated here when I was 15. And because of the circumstances that were happening in Zimbabwe, when we left, the government took all your money. You couldn't take out money from the country. So we arrived just with our suitcases. And a Zimbabwean who my parents had known said that we could come and stay with them. So I was also on an identity docket because the government took away our citizen. So we were theoretically a citizen of no country for about 3 years, which is quite scary because you can be deported at any point. Nobody has ownership. They can send you anywhere, really. But this Zimbabwe went to a church, and we ended up going to the same church, and my mum joined the home group. And this was really amazing to arrive to a foreign land and have a family we could arrive to, a church family. And this home group really embraced my mum, and it was just tremendous. And then we got a house, and we rented it when my dad arrived, and this home group helped us actually furnish our house and move things across, which is just wonderful. And so we moved to a church closer to us. But then 9 years later, I felt called to go back to the church and was employed there for a while. And is my walking around mixing? I don't know. And when I moved back, I saw one of these home group members, and I was so excited to say how well my family was doing. We hadn't seen them for 9 to 10 years. There was so much news to say. And this person came up to me and said, Sarah, wasn't it wonderful what my family did for you? Wasn't it great we got that trailer and we moved that couch for you? And went on to say all the things they had done. And I thanked them because, to be honest, what they had done was tremendous. Like, we needed that help. So I thought, oh, next time I see this person, they're going to ask me how my family's doing, how my mom is doing. And so the next time I saw them again, they were like, oh, Sarah, wasn't it great we gave you that TV? Wasn't it wonderful that that other church family gave you some cutlery? And I was like, yes, thank you. That was great. And after that time, my insides were kind of like going, something doesn't feel right. And the next time I saw them, now I was with a group of friends. And they were like, Sarah, oh, so good to see you. Wasn't it great? And I knew what was coming. And they listed the things that they had done. So you can imagine what this is doing to me inside. For one, I wanted to share how my family were doing, and they were doing really well. And for two, I noticed within myself, I was getting quite a low self-esteem around this person. My confidence was just going so low, and I was getting so embarrassed because every time I saw them, I was reminded of the situation my family was in. And also now my friends were hearing the situation I had come from. And this was doing something in me that was just, I just couldn't cope with. And so I realized that this home group member saw my identity as quite static. I was somebody who they had helped, and I needed to be in a continuous posture of thankfulness. And I also started to see them as static. As soon as they approached, I knew the routine. So I was contributing to it as well. And so I approached the leader and I said, is there any chance you could meet with us? Like, we both deeply care about each other, but we just need to sort out this dynamic that we're really stuck in. And this leader said to me, Sarah, actually, I've seen it. I've seen this happen, and I'm really sorry about it. But this person, he's actually really powerful and one of our biggest givers, and went on to list how this person was and said, I don't want to offend him. Just keep being thankful. Just keep showing your gratitude, and eventually it'll get better. And myself inside, I was just longing for somebody to come step in. I was longing for somebody to come help me. But for me, Scripture has been so deeply healing in this story. And Elliot's going to unpack a story that for me has brought so much freedom in the situation.
So the story Sarah is referring to is the letter to Philemon, or Philemon, by the Apostle Paul. And this is a really short little letter, but it's packed with something really deep that I think Sarah found as she read it, and I think we all find as we read it, you know, thinking about this dynamic of maybe a helper and a helped person, or in this case, it's a slave and his slave owner. So Philemon is the slave owner guy, and Onesimus is the slave. And in the story, Onesimus has come to Paul, and the Apostle Paul, he's in prison, possibly in Ephesus. And so the situation is that Onesimus shows up, and Paul kind of gets to know this guy. So Paul's there, he's done a lot of great work already, he's been establishing churches and sort of writing letters to people. And people are starting to catch on to his teaching, you know, he's converting a lot of people. Philemon himself had been one of those people who had, under Paul's teaching, actually come to believe in Jesus. So this is a pretty cool thing. And so Onesimus had heard about this guy Paul, and he comes to him in prison. He's fled from Philemon. And in those days, if a slave was to flee from their master, they were in grave danger. That if they were caught, they could be mutilated, branded, forced into pretty hard labor. So Onesimus has taken a big risk, and he shows up to Paul in prison and says, hey, I need your help. And so Onesimus and Paul, they get to know one another. And during that time, Onesimus himself comes to know Jesus. Paul converted him, and he came to know the good news. So with Paul, this really powerful leader, you know, this guy that we see as a real authority, the Apostle Paul, Onesimus and Paul got to know each other, and they became friends, a slave and an apostle. And so in that, we see this awesome dynamic of friendship happening, and Onesimus is saying to Paul, man, Paul, like, you're a powerful guy, but we seem to be able to get along just fine, you know? We're like brothers. And Paul goes, yeah, we are. That's so true. And Onesimus says, well, Paul, you know that I've fled from this guy, from Philemon. And Paul says, oh, I know Philemon. Like you, I converted him to Jesus. He is also a follower, right? And Onesimus says, yes, he is. And so Paul says, oh, man, that sucks. Like, this is a really hard relationship. I see that. And so so Paul pens this letter to Philemon, which we're going to read. And it's this deep tenderness, this deep heartfelt plea on behalf of Onesimus to Philemon for freedom, for release. So if you've got your Bibles, and I'm just going to get mine, let's open up to Philemon and we'll read it. Thanks. So we're going to read from verse 8. I'm reading in the NIV. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me, while I am in chains for the gospel. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was so that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I'll pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. So, on the surface, what's Paul doing here? He's pleading for this guy, Onesimus, to be able to be accepted back by Philemon mercifully. Philemon was in his right to receive the slave and to beat him, to have him flogged. But Paul's saying, please don't do that. Please receive him back as a brother. He's talking about this oneness in Christ, which we read so much about in his other teachings. You know, there's neither slave nor free, neither Greek nor Gentile. These sorts of things. Paul is living this out in his teaching to Philemon and in his plea. Paul's calling Philemon to be humane in his treatment, to receive him back, to take him back as a slave even, but not to abuse him for it. But what I find amazing about Paul's letter to Philemon isn't that. I think that's good, but the amazing thing, I think, is how Paul so wraps himself up in this engagement, how he identifies himself in this. You see, Paul, he empties himself of all his authority. So Philemon would have been reading this letter and going, man, this is a letter from Paul. He's a powerful guy. I know that. So Paul, the great leader, the apostle, he doesn't position himself in a place of authority. He doesn't say, Philemon, I want you to do this. In fact, he says, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, he doesn't do that. He pleads to him on the basis of love. Instead, Paul empties himself and he stands alongside Onesimus with him. Let's listen to some of the words he uses. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. This guy's a slave. He's become useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him who is my very heart. I would have liked to keep him with me. No longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Isn't that amazing? Paul's in his shoes. If he has done you anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Paul, this authoritative man, this guy who can pull the strings anywhere from prison, he stoops down so that he can identify with a runaway slave. And in doing this, he appeals to his friend Philemon not as an authoritative figure, but he appeals to him to see the slave in a different light as he sees his friend Paul. In this way, Philemon was able to see what Onesimus had done. And later on in the letter to Colossians, we see that Paul's plea actually takes place. Philemon is now a freed man working in the service of Paul. Paul emptied himself of his authority to tell Philemon what to do, and instead he stands in the gap. He stands in the gap, and that's the key.
In Paul, I saw this authoritative leader who cared deeply for a slave, for somebody that people would normally not give time to. He stopped for somebody who was powerless, and potentially helping Onesimus wasn't going to make him a more powerful leader. Potentially it could have made some people not listen to him, but this didn't stop him. He emptied himself and he stood with him. I found this story hitting a core with me. I was longing for somebody to stand in the gap, to stand with me and to plead my case, to remind this person that I'm their sister in Christ, to remind them that there's more to me than being helped, to show them the wonderful things that were happening at the place I was employed at, and to hopefully open up the conversation of me being able to tell how my family's doing. I'm a big fan of my family and I love talking about them, so that would have been really wonderful. I was aching for somebody who could see this dynamic. Sometimes you see somebody in a light for so long that that just becomes who that person can be, and you need somebody else who can step in and give you a new perspective. And this story gave me so much hope because it's so tender. It's this tender dynamic that gets changed through Paul saying, this is how you embrace your brother, Onesimus. This gave me so much hope of how we can operate as the body. This is what I was really, truly craving for and crying out for. Healing has come through seeing Paul, this amazing leader, stand in the gap. But furthermore, I can't help but think of Jesus in this story. And this is where my tears will probably come. The Eternal Son emptying himself and taking on flesh and coming to identify with me. An immigrant who had no legal status, who really was quite powerless. Paul was imaging Christ in that story of how he emptied himself for us. I just find that so phenomenal and touches an even deeper core and brings an even deeper healing for me. Through Jesus' life, we see him doing this time and time again. He identifies with people. He stands with them. He stands in this gap. In his death, he stands in the ultimate gap that sin has caused. And in his resurrection, he shows us this gap has been bridged. I am here with the Father pleading your case and earnestly standing here bringing you forward. This is where I found such deep healing. And so what we're going to do is just take a couple of minutes to ponder the wonder that Jesus has done, that he has come and identified with us in such a raw way. For me as an immigrant, Jesus spent time in Egypt as a refugee. And that to me has great significance. But there's other things that for you has great significance. And let's take time to ponder how Jesus, on having a spleen, a big toe, and nails, what that means for us. And then to go and ponder what he calls us into from being his followers as well.
As Sarah's just been talking, all of us in the story can identify with Onesimus. You know, all of us stand guilty before the Father, but in Christ we have this great mediator, this man who's stood in the gap for us and have been reconciled. But today, as we stand, I'd like you all to stand with me. We're going to be finishing here. today I'd like for us all rather to stand in the shoes of the leader that Sarah appealed to, in the shoes of Paul, who was asked to be that mediator. Because all of us, as followers of Christ, are called to be doing this stuff, to be standing in the gap, to be these mediators who recognize situations where there is a voiced person and a voiceless person, a helped person and a helping person. And these dynamics, we're called to see them and to stand in them and to say, no, we can have better. We can have better relationships that actually call out this unity, this equality that we do have in Christ. So as we stand together and, I guess, commission each other into the week, why don't we just recognize that we're called to be people who stand in the gap. We're called to be people like Paul and like this leader that Sarah appealed to and like Christ who did it for us, who stand in the gap and allow people to be heard and allow people to be reconciled. So with that in mind, let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you that we know you as a loving Father, as Abba Father, because you gave us your Son who alone knew you as Abba Father. And we thank you that in Jesus, your Son, we can come before you freely and we can know your pursuit of us. Jesus, thank you for your call upon our lives that you do reconciling work every day, that you are involved in all these dynamics, these situations where there is oppression, where people are held down by others. Lord, forgive us for where we do that, for where we stand in the shoes of this person that Sarah knew or Philemon, where we do hold people down when we shut their voices up. And Lord, as we repent, we ask that you would help us to be more like yourself, people who will follow you and stand in those tricky tensions where we may have to risk things as Paul did. Help us, Lord, to be bold in the way we love our people and in the way we stand with those who are voiceless and truly and tenderly stand with them. So, Lord, as we go into this week, help us to be people who are vigilant, who are looking for these dynamics and who are willing to stand in the gap. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cool. So that's the service. I hope you guys enjoy your long weekend. Thanks.